Hello, my name is Natalie Savelle. Welcome to the Stepmom Strong podcast. This show is for stepmamas or anyone dating a parent, really, all about how to navigate the challenges that come up in this complicated and often underestimated role. I'll be bringing you tips, tricks, validation, and support so that you know that you don't have to feel alone in this role, and there are ways to make things a little less overwhelming. I hope you enjoy. Hello, listeners. Natalie here. Super excited for today's episode with Casey O'Rourke. I freaking love her, and I'm sure you guys will too. She's so down to earth and real and approachable, but also has so much good parenting advice to offer in how to deal, especially with kids' challenging behaviors, one of my favorite topics. And she has a really great podcast called Joyful Courage, the Joyful Courage podcast. So definitely check her out. It's also cool because she talks a lot about her real life experiences, and she has two teenagers. So for those of you who are living with and supporting teenagers, it could be a really helpful resource for you. Every time I listen to her, and I've actually done a workshop with her, and had some coaching with her, she is a phenomenal coach, you guys. Like, the way she talks on the interview does not even do justice to what a good coach she is. And just, yeah, if you feel called to hire a parenting coach specifically, I highly, highly recommend her. So yeah, enjoy the episode. Hope you all are having a fabulous spring, and I will see you soon on the other side. Bye. All right, everyone, welcome back to the virtual interview series, Empowering Stepmoms, Reimagining the Modern Family. I'm your host, Natalie Savelle of Stepmom Strong Coaching, where I help stepmoms go from overwhelm, resentment, confusion, and stress to confidence, clarity, and connection. And today, our guest is Casey O'Rourke. Welcome, Casey. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You are. So Casey is a facilitator of personal growth and development. Her work encourages parents to discover the purpose of their journey while also providing them with tools and a shift of mindset that allows them to deepen their relationship with themselves and their families. She's a certified positive discipline trainer since 2007. She's led countless groups through workshops and classes that have left them feeling empowered and excited about parenting. She also offers an engaging podcast, live and online classes, and individual coaching at www.joyfulcourage.com. She lives in the Pacific Northwest with her greatest teachers, her husband, and two adolescent kids. We know what great teachers they can be. So let's go ahead and dive in, Casey. I would love to hear a little bit about the positive parenting approach. So what is the most powerful tool we have for influencing behavior?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for that introduction. It's always fun to hear about myself from someone else. Like, oh yeah, I do that. Oh yeah, that is me. So thanks. And I also want to acknowledge, you know, how powerful it becomes when we move in our lives in the direction of confidence, clarity, and connection. Those three words really stuck out for me in that introduction, Natalie, and mostly because I think that, you know, we're here to talk about parenting, we're here to talk about stepmothering, but really it's humaning, right? Regardless if it's the relationship we have with our children, our stepchildren, our spouses, our coworkers, our families of origin, all of what we talk about, what I talk about around parenting, it's really about human relationships. So the most powerful tool we have about influencing behavior is just that. It's the relationship that we create, that we nurture, that we continue to strengthen with our kids, whether they're 3 or 8 or 16, whether they're kids in the neighborhood, kids that we have birthed, kids that we've adopted, kids that we've inherited through marriage. The relationship that we develop and continue to come back to and continue to grow with our kids is really the most powerful tool that we have when it comes to behavior and really helping them and influencing the choices that they're making out in the world.
Yeah, so I'm going to have you talk more about that. But first, I also want to speak to what you're saying, which is just this idea of personal growth, which is in your bio, you help with personal growth, right? So yeah, it's parents specifically, but personal growth is personal growth. It's looking at your own crap and then working through it and sifting through it to be a fuller version of yourself, a more loving version of yourself, a more present version of yourself, right? So whether totally. That's whoever you are, whatever you're doing, that's the personal growth work. And so this in particular is for stepmoms to do, right? It's like catered to their experience, but it's all, yeah, I love how you said that, is that it's all for everyone. It's the same essential stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I really feel like all the people in our life, on some level, there was like a cosmic plan around who's going to come into our life and what they're here to teach us. And I think that is equally true from the step-parent, step-child relationship as it is through, you know, our biological children, you know, our partners, our friends. I think that we all carry energetic bruising from experiences and life that happened prior to having children in our lives. And I think we start to really... we do a really good job of like keeping those bruises well hidden or just put away, almost to the point where we forget that we have them. And then we have these children in front of us. And it's like, have you ever had someone push on a bruise and you're like, ow, don't do that. But that's what it feels like. It feels like they're pushing on these bruises. And so on one hand, we're like, oh, I have a bruise there. It hurts. And then we're responding to that hurt instead of the actual child that's in front of us who really has no idea that there's a bruise there, you know, but our response becomes, how could you? So when I think about personal growth and development, when I, my business is called Joyful Courage. And when I really flesh out what that means to me, it's really being in celebration of the opportunities for personal growth and development that exist every day on the parenting journey. On the step parenting journey, everything is an opportunity for us to recognize when we're kind of responding externally to something and pausing and looking for like, okay, wait a minute, what exactly is happening for me right now? And again, finding that clarity around, am I responding to something that's, that has nothing to do with this child or even this moment? And, you know, and when we recognize that that's what's happening, I think that's what opens us up to then embody confidence. Like, okay, wait a minute. I've got this. Like it's, we're okay. Everybody's okay here. I don't need to be in fight or flight.
Not an emergency. Like it feels
not an emergency. And then we get to, when we get there, then I think we're ever more able to move into, okay, I want to connect with the actual person in front of me instead of be all spun out in my mind about, you know, the rejection or the hurt that I felt as a child, you know, fill in the blank with the story details. That's not, you know, and maybe I'm kind of going on a tangent right now, but maybe the child in front of us is exactly the one to teach us how to let go of that attachment we have to being abandoned or being rejected. And so we get to work through that in relationship with this child. And I think it's so awesome. I love talking about that stuff.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's great. I love it. So just to tune people in and clue people in, because we're like in this conversation all the time. So for us, it's just like, it's easy and I get what you're saying. But for people who might be new to this conversation of like, my reactions are not based in what's happening right now. Like, what do you mean? My stepson left garbage in his room and he, of course I yelled at him. I have the right to yell at him. He shouldn't be leaving food in his room overnight. Like that's ridiculous. And my husband won't do anything about it. And of course I'm reacting like I'm mad. And yeah. So how do you work people through that and apply that to what you just said? If you
could. Yeah. So I'm glad that you said that. Cause I know sometimes I can get like, woo woo. So, well, it's a both and, right? It's that personal growth piece alongside practical tools and strategies for helping our kids be the best they can be. And so in the example of you know, gosh, my kids, they always leave garbage, like food scraps. I mean, ooh, bugs, all the stuff, it smells, and it's happening over and over and over again. And it makes me crazy. And I walk in there and I see it and I get so pissed, you know? So that on one hand, that is like, that's an awesome problem to have because it happens. It's like a pattern and you can expect it. And so you get to sit down with that child and say, so here's what I'm noticing, right? I'm noticing that, you know, you're bringing food into your room and you're not cleaning it up. And I get really worked up about it. What do you notice about how I respond to that? And then really holding space for them to say, yeah, you totally freak out, or you're mean, or I just want you to leave me alone. Here's where the personal growth shows up, right? You get to receive their feedback without justifying, without, yeah, but, you know. And then from that place, you get to gather information and you get to invite them into, okay, so how can we solve this problem together? And it might require you to say, you know what, you're right. Yesterday when I came in and I saw that half-eaten sandwich from the weekend, now it's Thursday, I did freak out. And I said, you know, and I said some hurtful things. I yelled at you. And ultimately, that is not how people solve problems. So I'm going to own that. And I'm sorry for that. And the next time I come in here and see something like that, you're going to see me walk out so that I can take care of myself before I come back in, and we can, you know, and so then we can solve the problem. So, you know, the personal growth part happens in like choosing to respond rather than react. Because when we react, we energetically move out of the problem and into just this emotional place. And it's hurtful. It's hurtful.
And I've had not helpful. That people can't hear us when we're screaming at them. Like that, their logical part of their brain is not working because they're scared. And so their nervous system's amped up and they're literally in like, they're getting into fight or flight mode. And so they can't, there's no learning that happens. Like you said, it's not helpful.
No. And you are, I was just in my son's room like 20 minutes ago and it was seriously like, really, dude, why? Why can you not close the drawers of your dresser? I don't know why that's the thing. I mean, regardless of how much stuff is on the ground, every drawer being opened is actually what sends me over the edge. And you know what? He just doesn't care. He doesn't, it doesn't bother him.
Right.
And the whole room thing, I mean, I have to give myself props because I really let that go. It's there. And, you know, sometimes I do say things like, I would love to come in and give you love before bedtime, but I seriously, I cannot deal with your room. So will you just meet me in the hallway and we can share a big hug? And, you know, and my kids, this has kind of been my way of being. And it took a lot. I mean, I was raised by an OCD mom who irons her sheets.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, like she's hardcore. She sent me a, and my stepmom too. I was raised in a blended family. You know, we, and the house was always immaculate. And so, you know, then you are find yourself as the mom or the stepmom and you realize like, oh, this is something that I'm actually carrying on. Like I need it. I feel safe. I feel comfortable when things are put away. Please don't look at the clutter behind me in my office.
Like cleaning it out.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's their space and it's their room. And what do I want most? Do I want to be yelling at them and like totally out of my mind all the time about their room? Or do I ultimately want them to learn to experience what it feels like when their room, when they've decided to clean their room and the difference, like, and that's what's happened. You know, their room isn't always clean, but about once a week, they'll, and I kind of hold the weekend is when we reset and it's like, okay, take care of your room. We're starting a new week. And I'll ask questions like, wow, how does it feel in here now? What do you notice? You know, and my son, my 12-year-old, right? My 12-year-old son will say, I feel so much calmer.
Great. Wow. Yeah. So they learn that lesson and then it gets messy again, but at least they know for next time.
Yeah.
where they get the motivation. Yeah. Yeah. It's such so much like self-motivation that way instead of like, well, I'm just going to do this because mom told me to, right? But then it's
yeah,
like,
and screw mom. She's so mean and this doesn't matter and I don't care. And that's what's going on versus like, all right, it's a reset. I got a week ahead of me. I know what to do because we took a lot of time for training. You know, he knows that when he's overwhelmed, it's like, just start with the sweatshirts. Like if you can deal with all the sweatshirts on the ground, they're big and bulky. And once they get put away, there's actually a lot, the pile looks a lot smaller, yeah. Right? Save the shirts for the end because they're hard to fold, right? You know, and we've had these conversations.
And you've gotten through that.
Yeah, yeah. And there's still times where I say like, should we do this together? You know, and because I think a lot of us get really stuck on, you need to clean up your mess and you need to do it alone. And how, right. And if we help somehow that is a fail.
Right. Right. Not holding them responsible or whatever. Yeah.
Right. But really it's more about taking time to train them, which is actually a positive discipline tool that we talk about a lot is taking time to train our kids. And the more we can take that time early, you know, the less they need it later. But really letting go of this attachment to, well, if they don't do it on their own, then we're coddling them or we're helicoptering them or we're enabling them. You know, I mean, I think there's definitely a balance there. Rarely, but every once in a while, I'm feeling really generous. I will do like a whirlwind room cleanup for my kids. But seriously, in the last year, it's happened one time.
Right.
So it's really theirs. Yeah.
That's huge. I know a lot of stepmoms, and I've struggled with this too myself, about gauging, like, I feel like we don't form the same connection with our stepkids as we do our own kids in a natural way. And so like my son is 3.5 and I get where he's at. You know, he was in my womb for 9 months. I nursed him. I watched him grow from a baby. And my stepson's 8. And even though I've been in his life since he was 3, I still haven't had that time with him, like that one-on-one time that I've had with my son that I made the intention and the effort to have with my son, right? I was home with him for the first 9 months. So I learned him so well. And we have time in the car together and all these little moments that are so connecting that my stepson, who's only at our house half the week, I just don't have that same natural connection. It takes a little bit more of an effort. So mm-hmm. I think that it can be hard to gauge like what's acceptable and what's not when you're a stepson, when you're a stepmom, you're seeing your stepkid and you're like, this doesn't seem right. This isn't the way an 8-year-old should act, or he shouldn't need so much help with this or that, or you know what I mean? I think it's easy to get caught up in those kinds of thoughts, and it feels so much more loving when we're just like, he is needing help with this right now. Like for whatever reason, if it's emotional or just his personality or whatever it is, yes, he's 8. And sometimes like it's really nice to help him put his socks on, even though that seems totally ridiculous and his feet are as big as mine. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of weird, but every now and then it's like, you know what? This would really help him a lot. And it's not that hard for me. And it's not like he's never going to learn how to put his socks on if I help him once every couple months, you know?
Well, and I think too, you know, I think there's also something to be said for, you know, you've never had an 8-year-old.
Right.
So even those of us who have, you know, the oldest child, regardless of when they come into our lives, is an anomaly. And even with two biological children, there's the one that is harder to connect with than the other. And that exists, you know, and that for me, and granted, full transparency, I am not a stepmom. So I know there are layers and complexities there that I'm totally blind to. I did and do have an experience, especially when they were younger, where, so my kids are 2 years, 8 months apart. And my daughter, you know, when she was my only, she was on my hip in a sling 90% of the time. And then I had this baby who, oh my God, he just melted me. And I absolutely had the experience of the mama bear, like, you are a giant human. Like, you need to give me space. You need to. And it was really painful for my daughter and for me, even as I was observing myself. And she has always been more difficult for me to connect with than my son. Like he's all over me. He's like wraps himself up on me. Like he is so loving. And that's my
style, right?
Yeah. And that's my love language. Like I love physical touch and words of affirmation. And my daughter is like, don't like, she flinches, which, and then I'm like, you know, my rejection issues show up and she is my teacher 100%. So, you know, what I would say to what you're talking about is, you know, making sure that you, Natalie, and all the stepmoms that are listening to this interview, like you get to be really intentional about the relationship building that you do with your kids. Yeah. And, you know, and it looks like scheduled special time where it's just the two of you and you get to go out in the world and you get to know those kids in a different way, because, you know, stepmom, real mom, I don't know if that's a term that people like. I remember when I was
we say biological mom or bio
mom. Like I could see real mom being a total trigger. So, you know, but in my experience of being the stepchild, you know, there was a lot of, you know, especially looking back, there was super crazy dynamic as far as feeling loyalty, feeling like, well, I can complain about my bio mom, but you cannot talk smack about my bio mom. And the other way around. And it was really hard. My parents did not do a very good job of co-parenting my two original parents. So it got pretty ugly, but the relationship that I have and had with my stepmom, you know, I am so grateful for. She's Nana. She's not any, you know, she's part of the whole picture for my kids and for me. And she was, even when I was really shitty to her, she never wavered. She was right there. And, you know, my heart goes out to all the women who say yes into, you know, a loving marriage that comes with children, because it also comes with probably an ex-wife. That can be really great or really not so great. And, but I just think the more intentional we can be about building relationship with the kids in our life, you know, there's so many unspoken messages that come along with that around like, I value you, you matter to me. They get a feeling of belonging, because there's also, you know, I'm sure that your son, when he gets to come and spend time at your house, his house, right? There's all sorts of like what he sees, how he makes sense of the family. Like a lot of that is out of your hands, because right. He's got an 8-year-old brain that's making 8-year-old, you know, that's meaning making just with the experiences that he's had in his life. So sometimes they miss the mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anything you can do to build that, I think, is really powerful.
Yeah. And it sounds like what you're saying is that the more the kids trigger us, right? Like if there's not a personality fit or whatever's going on with them, just for some reason causes us like so much frustration or feelings of rejection, like you mentioned with your daughter, or for me, it's like feeling really out of control. That's a big trigger for me. So it sounds like what you're saying, what I think is so powerful, is to take those as learning opportunities. So when those icky feelings come up that some behavior of our kids or stepkids are doing, then it's time to take a step and say, what is this? Like, oh, it's my feeling of being out of control that I think I'm not safe unless I'm totally in control of everything. And so let me look at that and take a moment and like feel it and let myself be with it. And that's how we do that healing. That's why there are teachers, right?
Yes.
It's because they're showing us the parts in us that are still unresolved and not accepting of our whole selves.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you put that really well. I liked it. and you know, I mean, when we take a step out of the things that trigger us, mm-hmm. and like really look at our, you know, cause it's easy to say to, especially our young kids, like our threes, you know, like how they are responding to this is totally like is inappropriate for what this situation is. But when we put that on ourselves, like food in the bedroom or you don't want to hug me, and I'm all of a sudden out of my mind about it, or the drawers, like the way that the, like when I can step out of that and look at like, well, you know what? I could just go close them. And that's what I do when I walk in there and I'm like, oh God, the drawers. I just close them.
Right. And that's something too. It's like, you know, you're teaching him like close your drawers by showing him that people take from our example, the kids yeah. do just as much as they do from us. I do think that, you know, the way that your mom kept her house taught you how to keep your house in a way, or which you may or may not.
Or I really want it to be clean. I just don't want to clean. So she kind of messed me up, but not really.
Right, in like the opposite direction. So we do as our parents, or we do the opposite. Isn't that the tendency? That's my understanding.
Yeah. Well, and I think that there's, you know, yeah, there's just, there's so much there. And to me, it's exciting. I get super lit up when I start to look at my relationship with my kids and see what they are teaching me. And it's not, you know, like there's that, oh, there are mirrors. So when my 2-year-old started to get frustrated and, you know, she would say shit under her breath, all that was required of me was to stop doing that. And then she stopped doing that. That's like that's one way to look at they're mirroring us. Another way to look at it is, you know, wow, how I'm is responding to this has nothing to do with my child. You know, I just went through a season of, my daughter started high school. I've talked a lot about this on the podcast. I'm pretty candid. She just started, this is her first year of high school, and being a parent coach and facilitator, I was, you know, I felt really good about our foundation and like high school's going to be a breeze. I loved high school. I had a great time. I knew that Rowan would have a great time. And guess what? It was a really hard transition, and it got dark, and like all the things that you're, you know, teenagers today are getting into, which you think like maybe junior, senior year. Oh, they all showed up this year, freshman year. And I learned about my own attachment to control and I really redefined what it means to trust. And, you know, in it, being in it was a lot more challenging than looking back at it. But regardless, throughout the whole period of time, one thing that stayed really consistent is my commitment to my relationship to my daughter never wavered. So she got to live through this really, hopefully, I'm sure it'll show up again, but really crazy time. But I continued to be this soft landing for her, right? Even when she didn't want me. And what that triggered in me, it was the same period of time for me. I was her same age when I actually moved out of my mom's house and in with my dad and my stepmom, and proceeded to have about a 10-year period of time where my relationship with my mom was very rocky and and not good. And so it made me, as I was going through it, I was really aware of that. And and it really, I go to a Reiki master. I love energy work. And one of the things that she talked about to me, she was like, you know, you and Rowan, that's my daughter's name, you've agreed to healing each other, like way before you were in the physical body, which I know I'm kind of going there with everyone. So just bear with me. You agreed that this was a healing that was going to happen. And when I could recognize that as it was happening, it helped me release a lot of the fear and anxiety that was showing up for me as I was witnessing, you know, just my daughter really struggling. And we've made it to the other side of that. And where we are right now is totally worth the crazy 5 months that we lived through. And I would also say where I am with my own mother right now was absolutely worth the 10 years that we had that was really tough. And so I'm just connecting those dots right now. So
yeah, and it does sound to you like... It does sound like, I mean, essentially what you're saying is that in every moment, as challenging as that may be, it can be so helpful to be like, we are supposed to be here in this dynamic.
Yeah.
It's happening for a reason. There's a lesson here. What is that lesson, right? And that just makes the hard times, because we're all going to go through hard times. It's not like you know, one of our kids at least is going to trigger us and going to go through something that's going to be really hard for us, right? Like that is bound to happen. And so, right, it's about like, what can I learn from this? And having that awareness, that perspective of like, this is okay. It doesn't mean the world is falling apart. It doesn't mean we're destroyed forever. It doesn't mean my child is ruined. Like there's something here. Let me just stick with it and kind of, using it as a lesson. I think that's such a powerful perspective to take.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am so grateful for my stepmom. Because when I moved in, she was 100% committed to me, you know, and she had a baby. My sister Kate was born when I was 14. And I remember being at softball practice and at softball games. And I remember the Jeep Wagoneer that my parents drove, that Julie drove, and she would be in the car because the baby was sleeping, watching my games, watching my practices. Like she was part of the grad night committee. Like she was totally there for me.
Yeah.
And I'm super great. And I was really crappy to her for a lot of years.
Wow. And she was able to just like be steady. That's amazing. That's very impressive. I think that's a hard
I mean, she's a saint.
She sounds like a natural saint. Yeah.
Well, and I know that when I was really young and because she came into I think I was about 7 when she came into my life, and she and my dad would come to soccer games, and I would, you know, because of whatever dynamic my mom and dad had, I was for a while was kind of anti my dad, and I wouldn't talk to them. And Julie tells me the story where she would say to my dad, like, why are we here? You know, like, and he said, because Casey's going to remember that we came, you know, like it was important to him. And she really took that and
she was like, okay.
And so, yeah. And she's got pretty thick skin. I mean,
right.
You know,
she's good. And the key there is not taking it personally. Like it wasn't about how you felt about her. It was about where you were and what you were going through. It had nothing to do with who she was or, you know, it might have to do with her role a little bit, like marrying your dad and whatever, but like essentially it's nothing to do with her as a person.
It's my issues. Yeah. Right. Well, and I, you know what, it'd be interesting. I wonder if she did, you know, even if she did take it personally, I never felt like she responded to me from a place of taking anything personally. She was more like, get it together. She was very blunt and very direct and sometimes a little bit with an edge. But you know, she was honest and that, and she was so interested in me and in my life and in seeing me succeed, even as, you know, she had my sister Kate, and then went on and had another, my brother was born my freshman year of college. She actually took me to college, what do you call it? Like the first weekend, like introduction. Yeah, orientation. And she was literally 8 months pregnant with me at orientation and in Tucson, Arizona in the summer. So.
That's commitment. That is dedication right there. That's so great. And I love that. And for any of the stepmoms watching, I think too, and this is a good reminder to me. I mean, I need to be reminded all the time of these things because it's not easy stuff to learn. And it takes us a while to practice it and to really get kind of fluent in it, right? And to revisit it over and over again. But just to get to know our stepkids, like who are they? Before, like first and foremost, before we worry about whether or not they're putting their dishes away or putting their clothes away or whatever else is going on, you know, getting in trouble at school, like before all of that, like who are they and what are they up to? What are they like? What are they not like? Like, just getting to know them as people rather than just seeing them as the behaviors that they're exhibiting, which can be important. Yeah,
super important. And I would also add to that, you know, that it just acknowledging that, especially in blended families where there's a whole nother household, you know, you get to practice just release of what's happening over there. I'm working right now. I have some parents in my membership program who are, you know, they're a blended family. And I know from my experience as a child, so that's different than actually being the step parent. You know, but there's so many areas in our life that teach us about releasing control and like settling into not knowing. And just, I would just love to say to all of the people that are watching, trust that what you do in your home and the relationship that you build in your home and the values that you model in your home is enough, right? It's enough. Even if the other space is, you know, whatever, you get to own that time that you have with your stepkids and just trust, you know, kids are super resilient. Like I knew what I could get away with at my mom's and I knew what I could get away with at my dad's, you know, and it was, you navigate it, right? Kids can navigate it. It's okay.
Yeah. Kids can navigate the differences. They can. It's like different rules for different sports. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So I could talk to you for like another hour, but
that's how I feel too.
We got to get people to listen to the whole thing. So tell us about your free gift for the audience that's watching today.
Yes. So my free gift is my Journey to Joy course, which, it's pretty short. It's a offer just like how we were talking about going deeper into the challenges that we're having and really recognizing what is being called forth from us. It is video, audio, and workbooks that will help you move towards being an ever more intentional mom. It's pretty small. It's not like this a long drawn out thing. You get to move through it at your own pace. But it's just something, it's a great starting point, especially into the work that I do with Joyful Courage. It's a great kind of baby step to feel it out and to see, is this something, you know, what's there? Because we don't always realize what is underneath our response to our kids. And so this program really helps you, guides you into recognizing that and doing something about it. So.
Yeah, that's a super generous offer. I hope people will take advantage. There's a link below the video today. So please do take advantage of Casey's super generous offer. And thank you so much for being here, Casey. They can also listen to your podcast, right? Joyful Courage.
Oh yeah. Joyful Courage. It's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, which makes me feel really cool. Just search for Joyful Courage and anywhere that you listen to podcasts. If you're like, what's a podcast? It's really not hard to listen to a podcast. And all of my podcasts also live on my website, joyfulcourage.com. So you can find them there. And I interview a variety of parent educators and not even parent educators, people that inspire me and my journey. I also every other week do a solo episode where it's just me kind of breaking down my experience of the world. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Great, Casey. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you being here and I'll see everyone next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. Natalie here. I hope you've been enjoying this podcast. I hope it's inspired you to use your challenges for growth. And I'm so glad you've gotten to listen. And I also hope it helps you realize that you're not alone or crazy. It is a very challenging role to be in a step-parenting position. So I wanted to be sure to invite you to my free Stepmom Strong Facebook community. It's a group of stepmoms who are also in a growth-oriented mindset. The women in there are amazing supports to each other, so make sure you check it out. You can head to www.facebook.com/groups/stepmomstrong. And be sure to answer the entry questions when you request to join. Otherwise, you will not be let in. So seriously, be sure to answer those so I can let you in. I'd love to have you join us. Again, it's a great group. So I hope you'll come find us on Facebook/groups/stepmomstrong. No spaces or underscores or anything. All right, thanks. Thanks again for listening. And I look forward to seeing you in there. Bye.